Hey, we didn't know about that.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the council chambers of the Portland City Council. We will come to order. Today is Wednesday, September 8th, 2010. It's 9:30 a.m. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, Mayor.
How do you like this weather?
Fine.
Great. Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
By prior agreement with the mayor, Carla, I just have an announcement before I cast my vote, which is
An issue of tax abatement. So if you're here from the public and you intend to testify and appeal on a tax abatement issue, would you please let us know, because we have staff, raise your hand, staff, if you would. We have a staff person here who can take a look at the particulars of your case and see whether we can resolve it without the necessity of a hearing. So if you're here on an appeal, please see our team before the hearing. Aye.
Adams.
Here. We have three communications. Carla, can you please read the title for 1217?
Request of Charles E. Long to address council regarding Paulson, politics, and betrayal, the end of baseball in Portland.
Mr. Long, please come forward. Nice to see you again.
My name is Charles Long. As I approached Civic Stadium Monday, I saw two young boys with their parents in tow, eagerly heading to the ballpark, each wearing a baseball glove. I asked them if they were intending to catch a ball today. They assured me that they would. As early as I can remember, I also was enthralled with baseball, our national pastime. I still am. But the demise of baseball in Portland and its cause is like a great Greek tragedy. There are more questions than answers, and there is hardly time to list them, much less discuss them. John Canzano, sports columnist in Monday's Oregonian, broached the issue. The leadership in the city stinks, and after the game today, professional baseball in Portland goes away, maybe forever. There is something about this that doesn't feel right. Mayor Adams has the big desk, but he ends up no show on anything that matters. We have these silly bike laws and the 613 million Portland bicycle plan. But what Portland doesn't have is a AAA baseball team where you can bring your family. I keep hearing that baseball will return to Portland someday. It will never happen with the current mayor and city council around. Without baseball, without a ballpark, without leadership, without city government willing to think big, we're left with a place that doesn't feel headed much any place at all. Perhaps it was providential that the day after baseball died in Portland, the heavens shed tears, the biggest rainstorm all season, and who will these boys emulate who are wearing their gloves to the ballpark? Perhaps they'll emulate the street gangs on Killingsworth. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Long. Can you please read the title for communications item number 1218?
Request of Michael Krupp to address council regarding clean and safe spinning on sidewalks and maximizing parking fines.
Mr. Krupp, welcome to City Council. Please have a seat.
Thank you. I would like to just narrow the conversation to the spitting issue and leave those others aside for now. I grew up in New York, and for a long time, even there, that's considered disgusting. So I don't understand why our beautiful, polite city tolerates that. Additionally, and more importantly, I think, you know how the police and everybody put those gloves on before they even talk to people a lot of times? It's because of bodily fluids. They might get on them. Now, I watch these kids, and everybody is spitting like they're all on baseball team. Speaking of baseball, it's like they're all pitching for some major league team. And I think that it should be enforced from a public health standpoint, A, and B, from a chamber of commerce, you know, tourist kind of thing. It would be nice to be the only city that kind of doesn't like spitting. I don't know how New York is right now, but I can imagine it's a low priority there. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much. I hope you take these things to heart because I don't speak on my behalf. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Krupp. Okay. Carla, can you please read the title for item number 1219?
Request of David Morrison to address council regarding proposed clear cell tower at Mount Tabor Middle School.
Welcome back, Mr. Morrison.
Thank you. I'm here to ask the City Council to deny the company Clear a permit to install a cell tower next to Mount Tabor Middle School at 60 Southeast 6th and Ash. Will the City Council do what the City of Los Angeles did and pass a resolution requiring a 1,500-foot distance between a cell tower and a school or daycare center? Studies now show an increased risk of cancer for those living within 350 to 400 meters of cell phone antennas at exposure levels well below the FCC guidelines. Younger children are much more vulnerable than adults to this type of radiation. For these reasons, it is important to minimize and not increase exposure of students to microwave radiation. The City of Portland has already decided not to lease school property to telecom companies, yet the proposed cell tower is adjacent to the outdoor playground of the school. The city would be hypocritical in granting a permit and would be jeopardizing the health of children and staff at the school. The Bayville Primary School in New York is filing a lawsuit alleging that 30 of the students and teachers have been diagnosed with some type of illness, cancer, or leukemia caused by cell phone antennas. Three students have already died, and many more are sick. And this is not an isolated case. A study published in the July 2008 issue of American Journal of Industrial Medicine reveals that dirty electricity was the likely cause of an unusual cancer cluster at La Quinta Middle School in California. I've copied you part of a U.S. military document that lists 2,311 studies on radio frequency and microwave radiation that were done prior to 1972. That document lists 145 biological effects of radio frequency radiation on humans. A few of these are death, decreased spermatogenesis or fertility, liver enlargement, altered fetal development, altered blood flow rate, electrocardiographic changes, functional and pathological changes in the eyes, hemorrhage in lungs, liver, gut, and brain, generalized degeneration of all body tissue, headaches, insomnia, restlessness, cranial nerve disorders, seizures, convulsions, depression, impotence, lack of concentration, dizziness, hallucinations, insomnia, loss of memory, changes in blood glucose, thyroid enlargement, and 115 more. The U.S. government and the telecom industries are aware of these studies, and they invade our neighborhoods with their microwave weapons. It's time to fight this in spite of the 1996 Telecommunications Act and do your moral and legal duty to protect children and others by denying this permit and letting it resolve in the courts. There's enough science now, and the time is right to act bravely and aggressively on behalf of the lives of our children, rather than feeding the genocidal $4 trillion telecom industry. The Nuremberg Treaties prohibits using humans as guinea pigs, and this is precisely what is being done with our children. When is it time to stand up and fight? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May I just comment on that? Thank you, Mr. Morrison, for your passion on this. One clarification, it was the school board, the Portland Public School Board, that chose not to allow antennas on school buildings rather than the city council. But in better news, I spoke with Congressman Davis Wu at the Labor Day picnic on Monday, and he is moving forward with responding to our request last year on asking the national health bodies to look again at whether there are health impacts of cellular facilities. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get some movement on that shortly.
Great, thanks. We'll now consider the consented agenda. I will pull 1227 back to my office. Are there any other items on the consent agenda that anyone wishes to pull? All right, Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Can you please read the title for our first time certain scheduled for 30 minutes? Resolution, item number 1220.
Terminate tax exemptions for properties under the single unit new construction and residential rehabilitation, transit-oriented development, and new multiple unit housing limited tax programs.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I introduce our panel, I want to again announce that if you are here today to challenge the determination on the tax abatement, so if you're a member of the public here to appeal the recommended termination, and you're here, please raise your hand. Okay, I don't see anybody because we could have that conversation offline to see whether we can avoid a hearing. Mayor, as you and my colleagues know, the Portland Housing Bureau now administers all of the tax abatement programs for the City of Portland, previously run through the Portland Development Commission with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We are committed to transparency and accountability in all that we do, and today we are coming forward with a series of recommendations concerning the termination of tax abatements which no longer qualify under our code. Presenting are Margaret Van Vliet, our distinguished director, and Andrea Matheson, who is our program manager. Welcome, ladies.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, Margaret Van Vliet, director of the Housing Bureau again. Glad to be here. I'll be very brief and turn this over to Andrea here in a minute. I do want to just sort of set the context about our work around accountability and transparency and sort of doing some administrative cleanup around the tax abatement programs. Every year, as you will recall, we do provide a report to council and to the County Board of Commissioners on sort of activities connected to the programs. And then separately from that, we audit the files each year to ensure compliance and properties that are no longer in compliance because they've transferred ownership or the individuals have become over income or whatever the circumstances, it's our duty to move to sort of terminate the abatement so that we capture revenue. So that's what this is about, and I'm pleased to introduce Andrea Matheson, who'll walk you through briefly what you've got, and we do have a few changes, so we want to make sure that you're tracking the changes. Andrea has been with the City of Portland Housing Bureau for a number of years, and we recently promoted her to be a program manager overseeing all of our single family and homeownership programs. So delighted to introduce Andrea Matheson, and she'll take you through the business item.
All right. Good morning, Commissioners. Andrea Matheson, Portland Housing Bureau. And so we just wanted to make sure that you felt comfortable with the process that the Portland Housing Bureau had used as we evaluated these properties, these tax exemptions and the terminations that we're proposing today under this resolution are something that we take very seriously. And there has been quite a bit of communication on the part of the Bureau with the potentially impacted property owners. So the resolution that you have in front of you includes tax exemptions under four separate programs: the single-family new construction tax exemption program, the single-family rehab program, transit-oriented development tax exemptions, and also the new market housing unit tax exemption program. So we are proposing, as you can see, 68 terminations. Originally, the list that was attached as Exhibit A included 67 individual properties. We added several, removed several, and so we've got a net increase of just one property for 68 proposed terminations. 62 of those fall under the single-family new construction tax exemption program, 3 under the single-family rehab program, 2 under the new market housing unit tax exemption program, and 1 under the TOD tax exemption program. So as we conveyed in the memo, I believe that was provided to council, the average estimated value of the tax exemptions is about $1,400 per year for an estimated value of a little over $100,000 that will be added back onto the county's tax rolls if every one of these proposed terminations is approved. So state and state statute and city code require a certain number of program requirements. They include that these properties are located within the designated homebuyer opportunity area. They require that the properties are owner-occupied, that households meet certain income requirements, that they be under 100% of median family income, which is about $70,000 for this year, and also that the properties are sold to the buyer under the current price cap of $275,000. So those are the primary elements for, that we're looking at for compliance. When we began the audit, which we do every year, about 1,400 properties were looked at to make sure that they were meeting these various program compliance. We identified 95 of those properties that were potentially out of compliance for one reason or another. And so those households received written communication from the Portland Housing Bureau requesting written proof that they were in compliance with the program requirements. Of those 95 properties that were communicated with, 68 did not respond with the specific required program documentation. And those are the ones that you'll see included on the proposed termination list attached to the resolution. So those properties specifically received via certified mail a letter from the Housing Bureau stating our intent to terminate the tax exemptions that they are receiving, and also letting them know that they did have the right to appeal the proposed termination. And depending on the program, the appeal process is slightly different. Single-family properties appeal directly to the Portland Housing Bureau, while the TOD programs and the New Market Housing Unit would have appealed directly to you today, their proposed termination. And so then what you have in front of you is the final proposed termination list. Once you've approved the resolution, the list goes to Multnomah County. They then terminate the tax exemption, and then property tax bills are sent out to these households October 15th.
Andrea, just a housekeeping matter. Would you like us, in connection with our deliberations, to adopt the separate sheet as the substitute exhibit?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
All right. I would move the substitute Exhibit A with the resolution.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Anyone wish to testify? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Substitute?
Yeah.
Okay. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved.
I just had a question. So you said 1,400 properties. Is that the total universe of properties?
That was the total number. That is the universe that of under properties those, that were included yeah. with the audit when it began.
Okay. And then some of the categories, reason for termination says no ACQ response. What is
that? That's the application that the property owner would be required to submit to the Bureau, stating their income, stating that they won't rent the property. And so in cases where they have not made an application to the program, where there's been a transfer from one eligible property owner to another, we wouldn't be able to extend the tax exemption to the subsequent buyer.
Andrea, on page 2 of the exhibit, about 7 down, it refers to an owner named Fish. And Commissioner Saltzman leaned over and asked me whether I was moonlighting with any rental properties. That's someone unrelated to your commissioner in charge. Is that correct?
I believe that to be true, yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Commissioner Fritz just pointed out that there's an Adams as well, and that is not me. That is not me.
Mayor and colleagues, one other detail I'd like to share with you, which is while today's action is limited to our annual task in reviewing compliance for our eligibility for these tax abatements, Margaret and I are currently in a conversation with Chair Kogan, which we call the Big Look, where we are reviewing the utility and cost benefit of all of the city's tax abatement programs. We will be coming back this fall with recommendations for both legislative and administrative changes to more closely align our whole tax, all of our tax abatement policies with City Council policies. So that's a preview of something we'll be discussing on a sort of a higher level later this fall.
It says that we get about $99,000 in additional property taxes from not doing these abatements, or that all the taxing jurisdictions. Does that go into the general fund, the money that we now get?
I don't know the answer.
Not
to
sure
that.
The answer.
Yes,
to that
I would
question.
Think so. Our share.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to collect it from the county. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your good work on this. It's really great, Commissioner Fish, that. I think sometimes people think we hand out tax abatements willy-nilly, and I'm really pleased this is the second time we do this annually to check up and make sure that they are going to the people who really need them, and I appreciate your work very much.
Mayor, this is a resolution, so we'll just seek a roll call.
Well, first, is there anyone here that wishes to testify in 1220? All right, please call the vote.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank you for doing good work on behalf of taxpayers to make sure that people are not taking advantage of property tax reductions, and they're not meeting the criteria for doing that. So this is a great exercise, and thank you. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
This is a lot of work to go through these one at a time, 1,400-odd properties. And I particularly appreciate the person who came to testify and obviously found that, indeed, your request has been taken care of. Because although it's a big program, it is one homeowner at a time. And so I greatly appreciate the fact that you, even up to the last minute, you were making changes and making sure that you got it right. Thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
This is not the first time that Andrea's come before us with a presentation, but I think you understand why Margaret and I feel so strongly about her work and why she did receive the promotion. And congratulations. This is very detail-intensive work. It's not sexy, but it's absolutely vital if we're to maintain public confidence in how we manage our tax abatement program. So, Andrea, thank you. Margaret, thank you. Aye.
Nick, and thank you for that recognition. I appreciate that, but I do also just want to recognize Marilyn Hurtley, who has spent an inordinate number of hours on the weekends, in the evenings, as Commissioner Fritz did mention, going through individual homeowner by homeowner.
So. Thank you, Marilyn, very much.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank you, Commissioner Fish, for doing this important, maybe not the sexiest work in city government, but very important work as it relates to accountability and transparency. So thank you, and thanks to the team and the Bureau of Housing for delivering. Appreciate it. Aye. So approved. Can you please read? I don't see the right people in the room, so let's go to the regular agenda. Unless there's objections, I'd pull 1237 back to my office. So done. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1238?
Create a local improvement district to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements from Northeast 76th Avenue to Northeast 79th Avenue in the Northeast Alberta Street Phase 1 Local Improvement District. Saltzman?
Good work, Andrew. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your diligent work, Andrew. Aye.
Fish.
Go Pilots. Aye.
Adams.
Block by block, we're slowly getting sidewalks and stormwater improvements, so thank you. Aye. 1238 is approved. Can you please read the title and call a vote on 1239?
Amend legal services agreement with Ball Janik, LLP for outside counsel. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
For the reasons I stated last week, I can't support this. No.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1239 is approved. Can you, looking around, can you please read the title and call the vote for 1241?
Authorized contract with CH2M Hill for professional engineering services for the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant Secondary Process Improvements Project Number E08909. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1241 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1242?
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1242 is approved. Christine, are you here to speak on 1240?
No.
Okay. Carla, can you please read item 1240 and I will wing it.
Authorize charitable organizations eligible to participate in the city's 2011 combined charitable campaign.
So on May 24th, 1989, the City Council established standards for and guidelines for conducting charitable fundraising campaigns. That policy has served us well, and you'll see in the background information provided to the City Council and made public the organizations that are eligible to participate in the 2011 combined charitable campaign, and I'd ask the City Council to consider approving that list. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on item 1240? Any discussion from the City Council? This is an emergency ordinance. Carla, can you please call the vote on 1240?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for winging it, Mayor, and a good explanation. It is important for the public to know that city employees do a lot in our community, both in volunteer time, above and beyond their work time, and also in donating to these good causes. And I encourage all city employees to donate even a small amount because we want as many participating as possible, and also for the public to look at these organizations and consider volunteering or donating money. Aye.
Fish.
Mayor, it's a great list. The system works because it's very easy to sign up, as I can attest. And while I don't want to single out any particular one because they're all worthy, I know there is an outstanding challenge within this building to get 100% participation in Work for Art. And I would encourage my colleagues to consider at the staff level and at leadership level to join that challenge. Aye.
Adams.
If I recall correctly, even though the recession was hitting all of us and city employees as well last year in terms of elimination of positions, I believe that giving was up 11% among city employees. So inspiring. And as my colleagues mentioned, let's hope we can do more. Aye. 1240 is approved. We have a time certain at, so we have a 15-minute recess. Time certain at 10:15. The morning moved faster than I thought.
Yeah,
because we can't do it before
10:15.
Right.
What's up?
Randy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Are you having fun? Certain, and then before we adjourn, we'll do your two things. All right, City Council, come back from recess. It is still Wednesday, it is still September 8th, and it is still 2010. We were in recess. We come back for a 10:15 time certain, which is a resolution. Please read the title for item number 1221.
Update the City of Portland Sustainable Procurement Policy.
I'm pleased to submit this to the City Council for consideration. It builds on the incredible innovations in both procurement and in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to keep Portland at the forefront of sustainable procurement and to do it in a cost-effective way. So I'll turn initial comments over to Christine Moody.
Thank you, Mayor.
I am here today presenting an update to the city's sustainable procurement policy, recognizing that purchasing decisions have a critical role in meeting the city's green building, toxics reduction, global warming, and other related sustainability goals. By way of background, the policy was originally implemented in 2008, and over the past 2 years, we have provided direction on including sustainability specifications or evaluation criteria on construction contracts related to emissions reduction and recycling of construction materials, commodity purchases such as office supplies, paper, and task chairs, and LEED requirements for architectural and engineering contracts on new construction or major renovations. Stacy Foreman, our sustainable procurement coordinator, has played an integral role in this policy. Stacy has created a centralized employee website that provides guidance to city employees for making sustainable purchasing decisions and has written several Buying Green case studies that received over 11,000 views in the past year. I want to recognize Stacy and her good efforts.
Stacy, thank you.
This policy update authorizes the creation of citywide sustainable procurement standards, provides for guidance and clarity on what is or is not a green product, and supports the city's efforts to obtain LEED for existing building certifications. The social equity factors have been updated to include disabled veteran-owned firms, in addition to the use of local businesses, state-certified MWSB firms, and human health impacts. This policy strengthens collaboration efforts between procurement services, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and various Bureau stakeholders to provide continuous improvements in developing sustainable procurement standards for the most common products and services the city purchases. We will be able to implement better tracking to meet LEED documentation requirements and develop additional case studies. In addition, we hope to provide more information to city employees and perform compliance with the approved standards. I look forward to working with the bureaus to provide resources for the contracting needs and continue to demonstrate leadership in sustainable procurement.
Go ahead, Susan.
Good morning. Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I want to thank Christine and Jeff and Stacy. And Stacy used to be our intern, actually, years ago. And then we said, no, she should really be in the bureau that does all the work for purchasing. So we were very glad when they hired her. 8 or 10 years ago, my old office, the Office of Sustainable Development, was really just about the only voice out there, you know, promoting green and efficiency in city government. But those times for the city are really long gone, and they should be. Now I think it's kind of running rampant in every bureau, looking for ideas and actions that different bureaus can take about energy efficiency, about green practices, buying green products. So the sustainable procurement policy is a great example of collaboration among Office of Management and Finance, Planning and Sustainability, and many other bureaus. I really do believe that the procurement policy is an essential component for how the bureaus do business. It will really take sustainability and make it just standard operating procedure, and that's how it should be. It'll also make sure that day-to-day operations are in sync with our policies, with the Climate Action Plan, with the Green Building Policy. You know, as a city, as a city council, you all adopt goals and policies every single week up here. This is the kind of action that actually takes those policies, makes it real, and makes it so that we get the job done and really walk our talk. And I think that's really important. My office will continue to work closely with OMF in terms of any technical issues, in terms of products and practices. So I just really wanted to come here and testify and say thank you to Christine, to Jeff, to Stacy. They make my job a whole lot easier when I'm out promoting Portland as the place that is green and sustainable and really walks the talk. The kind of work that they're doing really makes it so it's easy to do my job. So thank you.
Thank you both. Council discussion questions?
Mayor?
Yeah.
I think this is really terrific. And in fact, I read through the policy and thought it was pretty much perfect. I couldn't think of anything that I would suggest to add to it. And in that vein, the last "be it further resolved" says that the chief procurement officer for the city is authorized to develop and approve future updates as binding city policy. I would like to delete that because the previous ones say that you will be responsible for doing updates. If you can think of something that's even better, I want it to come back to council so that we can celebrate it and let everybody know about it and so that there's a periodic re-airing of this policy and reminding of folks on it. So with your permission, Mayor, I move to delete the last be it further resolved and the and before it.
Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. The motion is approved. Does anyone wish to testify on 1221? Carla, can you please call the vote on resolution item number 1221?
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Christine and Stacy and Jeff in our various times and your capacities as procurement leaders in our city, and thank Susan Anderson for her direction. And this is definitely a good policy, and it's getting better all the time. So I appreciate the diligence being paid to these important issues that we become more green in how we consume and how we build things. So thank you. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
I know there's a lot of work gone into developing a policy like this, and indeed, as Susan said, it is where the rubber hits the road, and that the implementation of our wonderful policies are in how we actually do the procurement. So I greatly appreciate your work on this. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you for your good work.
Aye. Adams.
We have a great team working on this. Thank you. Aye. Resolution is approved, and we are adjourned for the week. We're going to reconsider. Sorry. Can you please, I move to reconsider item number 1241 and 1242. Do we vote on the reconsideration?
Vote on.
Yes.
We should.
Okay. The motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Please call the vote on the motion.
So before we do that, can I ask the purpose for which we're reconsidering this?
Commissioner Fish had stepped out of the room and would like to be able to vote on them.
Don't we normally allow people to vote after the gavel's fallen? I've done that.
Have we done that after it's been voted on?
No? Okay.
I asked if that's an informal practice.
I've done it before at record, but that's fine.
But if we're reconsidering it, we're doing the vote over again.
Okay.
So we're voting on 1241.
Well, I think
we're voting on the motion to reconsider the vote on 1241. Okay. Yes.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please call the vote on 1241?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Move to reconsider 1242. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Can you please call the vote on the motion to reconsider?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Can you please call the vote on 1241?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Approved. We are now adjourned for the week. Thanks.
You need to prod me when I need to do this.
What is that?
Make any points, Mr. Canzano?
Oh, yeah. Not that it does any good, but I did. I just basically said no amount of excessive foaming at the mouth is going to close a $30 million gap.
Exactly. Thank you.